April 3rd. Sheila said that being her business partner didn't mean I had to invest in the business, but Daryl and I discussed it and decided we should. First of all, it seems like the right thing to do. Second, it means I'll get a say in what fabric lines Sheila carries in the store. For instance, I'd love her to carry Jennifer Sampoo's ombres. Well, anything that Jennifer designs is fine by me. Sometimes when I look at her fabrics, I wonder if she ever wanted to be an artist. Her colors seem, well, I don't know what to call them. Painterly? Is that even a word? I went through an artsy phase in high school where I was sure I was going to be a painter one day. I wasn't bad at drawing, and I've always been good with color, but I don't think I really wanted to be an artist. I think I wanted to smoke cigarettes in the art room after school, which you could do back when I was in high school. I wanted to hang out with the artsy kids, some of whom were really talented, and a few of whom had really crappy home lives, which is why they showed up at school early and headed straight for Miss Beverly's art room. They hung out there during lunch and came back after the last bell. Miss Beverly was always in her room. In fact, I sometimes wondered if she lived there. She kept boxes of Ritz crackers and jars of peanut butter, and you could eat as much as you wanted. I think there were a couple kids who lived on that stuff. I myself didn't have a crappy home life. I had a very quiet home life after Janet went to college and my mom went to work to help pay Janet's tuition. My mom and my dad both got home around 6, and we ate dinner around 7, and they were both so tired that we didn't talk much. In fact, it wasn't long before we were eating dinner in front of the TV. Anyway, home was fine, but it was sort of lonely. So I hung out in the art room and smoked. I kept smoking until I started dating Daryl, whose grandfather had died of lung cancer a few months before we met. He hinted around that he'd love it if I quit, and I was in love, so I quit. I painted nice little watercolors and drew nice little pictures and chatted with the other kids and Miss Beverly. I loved Miss Beverly. It's funny to think that she was probably in her mid-20s at the time, just a baby. To me, she seemed like the most sophisticated person in the world. She played Joni Mitchell records, burned incense, and always had a can of Fresca in her hand, even during the regular school day. I adored her. Sometimes I think about Googling her, but what if she ended up having a boring life, an unartistic life, or an awful life? I don't want anything to interfere with my image of her. In the fall of junior year, Sheila got a part in Bye Bye Birdie and convinced me that I should work on the set design crew. That's when I gave up the life of an artist and started dreaming about a life in the theater. One of the things I like about being a quilter is that I get to be an artist again, or a kind of artist anyway. Which reminds me, I haven't reported on my portrait quilt. It's been an interesting process, from making a pattern from the photograph of Sam and Katie to working out the colors and picking out fabrics that seem like they would work. But I can't get the faces right. Sam sort of looks like Sam, but Katie doesn't quite look human. I mean, does not look human in a scary way. In a horror film kind of way. So, it's April, and I don't know what to do show quilt-wise. Daryl says I should get some fabrics I like and start improvising, just to see what happens. Get wonky with it, he says. But I don't do wonky. Daryl, on the other hand, is the king of wonky. Wonky stars, wonky triangles, wonky log cabins. The man, this former engineer, wouldn't know a straight line or a right angle if it whomped him upside the head. He's hoping Sheila will carry Ruby Star fabrics and Motobella solids. Only a few months ago, this man had zero knowledge about fabric designers and fabric lines, and now he's all, "I really like Anna Maria Horner, don't you?" Maybe that's why he wants us to invest in Thimble Pleasures. He wants to make sure Sheila orders enough Anna Maria Horner and Ruby Star. How did this happen? April 5th. Last night was Guild Night. Did I ever write about the March meeting? It was the annual business meeting, and the business part was only supposed to last 30 minutes, but it lasted 2 hours. Marianne Knight and her crew hijacked things, as they so often do. They want to do a guild retreat at Bonnie Hunter's Quiltville Retreat Center. Who doesn't? But it can take years to get in. Everyone agreed that we should put our guild on the list. But Marianne, she argued that we should do a fundraiser to raise money to bribe Bonnie Hunter to let us cut in line. Aside from the fact that there's nothing about Bonnie Hunter that suggests that she's bribable, and the fact that trying to bribe anybody to do anything is unethical, the idea of doing a special fundraiser and spending the money on a bribe when it could be spent in so many other above-board ways is just ridiculous. The problem was, when Sheila stood to make this exact point, we suddenly found ourselves in the middle of a discussion about what we should use the funds from our special fundraiser for. Our special make-believe, no one has time for a fundraiser. We spent 45 minutes on this nonsense. No wonder I didn't write about it in my diary. Last night's meeting was much better. The guest speaker was Tina Craig, who taught an English paper piecing class over the weekend, a class I would have loved to have taken, but it filled up too fast. Last night, Tina, who's an absolute pip and just adorable, did a trunk show where she showed us two quilts at a time, one that was foundation paper pieced and the other one that was EPP'd. She asked us to keep track of which ones we preferred. Overall, people preferred the foundation paper pieced quilts. All of the quilts were very nice, and some of the EPP quilts were stunning. But there's just so much more you can do with foundation piecing. Overall, the design was more innovative and original. Anyway, it got me to thinking that maybe I should do a foundation paper pieced quilt for my show quilt. If I come up with the design, Sheila knows how to make the pattern. I've done foundation paper piecing before, though it's been a while. But stuff like that is like riding a bike, right? It'll come back to me once I get started. April 9th. Sheila and I decided it was time to go to the Cozy Quilter in Ashland to let Gail and Melissa know about our new quilt shop. We also decided that the blow would fall a little more softly if we started the conversation right after we'd laid down our credit cards for some serious yardage. So, I downloaded a cute foundation-pieced pattern from the Fat Quarter Shop and made a list of what I needed to make it, and Sheila decided her stash needed more purple. That was it. That was her whole list. Purple. One of my long-running debates with Sheila is whether it's better to shop for a project or shop for your stash. I personally am a project shopper. One, I have limited space in my dining room turned sewing room. And two, I never end up using fabric that I buy just because I like it. Or if I use it, it's for a pieced back. Sheila, on the other hand, is a stash shopper who is always planning for quilting emergencies. What if she's in the middle of a quilt that uses a lot of pink and runs out of pink? She does a lot of scrappy quilts, so according to her, it doesn't matter so much if the pinks are different shades or prints. Still, if you ask Sheila how often she has a quilting emergency, you'll get a lot of stammering and shoulder shrugging and,
"Oh, there was that time a few years ago."
Uh-huh. The real answer is never. You know why? Because on top of being a stash shopper, Sheila is also a project shopper. She has enough fabric to, well, to start her own quilt shop. Sheila picked me up at 9:30, and we drove to the Dunkin' Donuts on Route 42, just outside of town. That wasn't officially on our itinerary, but since when have Sheila and I headed for Ashland without stopping off at Dunkin' Donuts? We both have a thing for the vanilla frosted donuts with sprinkles. "The prettiest sprinkles in town," Sheila always says, and it's hard to disagree. The closer we got, the more nervous we got. It's not just that Gail and Melissa have always bent over backwards to help every quilter who's walked into the shop, and everyone, including us, loves them. It's also that Gail is a little scary. She's smart and she's funny and she knows more about quilting than Alex Anderson, Marianne Fonz, and the late great Nancy Zeman combined. But she does not suffer fools gladly. Now, if you go to the store and admit you don't know anything about making quilts, she's a doll. She'll help you pick out your fabric and notions and give you a printed list of YouTube tutorials and local quilt guilds. She'll make you feel confident that you can make a great first quilt. It's the people who saunter into the store thinking that they know as much or more than Gail who are making a big mistake. People who have opinions that clash with hers. People who think you should cut fabric off the bolt instead of tearing it. People who think 100% polyester batting is a good idea. Gail isn't shy about putting these would-be know-it-alls in their place. It doesn't sound like a good business model, does it? But the thing is, Gail is almost always right. Approached with humility, she is your best quilting friend. It helps that she's balanced out by Melissa, who just oozes love and acceptance. Every choice you make, whether it's fabric or a new ruler or a marking pen, is brilliant. Show her a picture of a recent finish and she'll proclaim to the heavens that you are an artist, the Tri-City area's own Jenny Byer, Jenny Doan, Kay Facet. Which meant we were as scared of hurting Melissa's feelings as we were of making Gail mad. Okay, almost as scared. All right, we were vaguely scared in the vaguest possible way that Melissa would be upset with us. Still, we hated to do anything to cause her distress.
"Do you think we should buy them some candy or something?"
Sheila asked as I pulled up in front of the shop, which is located in a cute little shopping center called the Shops at Ashland Park. There is no park.
"There's that cute little candy shop at the other end of the shopping center. The Candy Fiesta? Melissa loves chocolate."
"What does Gail love? Raw meat?"
"I bet she likes black licorice," Sheila said, popping off her seatbelt. "Sticks, not rope."
"Nobody likes black licorice," I replied as I collected my things. "Though it's true that if anyone did, it would be Gail." That decided it. We headed to the candy shop. After sampling all the samples on display, we bought Melissa a small box of fudge and Gail a big bag of licorice sticks. Then we tried a few more samples, or, as Sheila put it, we partook of some chocolate courage. There were only a few people in the store when we went into the Cozy Quilter, but it wouldn't be long before the place filled up. It was a Saturday morning, after all, and there was a table runner class at 11. Well, if it isn't our favorite Milton Falls quilting twins, Gail called out when she saw us. What are you in the market for today? We've got some nice Island batiks that just came in yesterday and some new Hoffman pre-cuts. We let Gail lead us around the store and recommend fabrics for my paper piecing project and point out her favorite purples to Sheila. We bought everything she recommended and helped lug the bolts over to the cutting table. Sheila pretended to look at the notions as Gail tore her yardage. Sheila prefers it cut, not that she'd ever tell Gail. I chatted away about this and that, finally landing on Milton Falls' new Quilt Historical Society. I heard about that, Gail said, ripping away. In fact, we put in a proposal for a quilt shop over there. Thought it would be great to have a second store closer to our favorite customers. It was like a punch in the gut when our proposal got turned down, just because we're not from Milton Falls. How do you like that? Without us, quilting would have died in Milton Falls years ago. We've been here for 20 years, selling fabrics, teaching classes, keeping the tradition alive. And that idiot, Mimi Pressler, dares to deny us our rightful place in the new retail space. I could just spit. I glanced at Sheila, who gave me a subtle shake of her head in reply. This didn't match up with what Mimi had told us, that the other people who had put in proposals didn't have business and/or quilting experience. Gail and Melissa had both. But Sheila was right. It wasn't the time to bring this up with Gail. 10 minutes and several $100 later, we were on the road back home.
What are we going to do now? Sheila asked, taking a piece of fudge out of the box and handing it to me.
You mean how are we going to break the news? Especially since Gail and Melissa are absolutely qualified to open a shop in building number 5?
10 times as qualified as we are, if you think about it.
Sheila pulled a small paper bag from her purse.
No, I mean with this licorice. Who in the world eats licorice?
I shrugged. No one?
No one,
Sheila agreed and dumped the candy out of the window. As for how to tell Gail and Melissa, I don't know. Sheila's hoping to open the shop in September, so we have 5 months to figure it out. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.